As I'm sure you are all well aware, something rather amazing happened last week, a solar eclipse, occurring over a heavily populated part of our planet, giving millions of people, giving us, an opportunity to witness this special thing. Now, some people, some of you, in fact, traveled to places in the path of totality, a phrase I hope never leaves our vocabulary. That strip of land that would fall entirely under the shadow of the moon and so experience for just a moment darkness falling in the middle of the day. And people equipped themselves with special glasses to be able to gaze directly at the sun and watch as the moon passed in front of it. And our hype-inclined media culture made very sure we were all deeply aware of just how dangerous looking at the sun is without the right eye protection. As if that was news, I don't know. Now, I did not choose to travel into the path of totality, and I did not choose to acquire special glasses, partly out of laziness, but partly also, at least in retrospect, out of a genuine experience to genuine interest to experience the eclipse simply as it would happen here in Ottawa, with the same senses that I generally use to experience the environment around me, which again, never involves looking directly at the sun. Because you don't need to look directly at the sun to experience its power. That experience is all around you. On a sunny spring day, you feel the warmth of the sun on your skin. You feel it thawing the winter earth. You see the quality of the light as the sun shines through the air and reflects off the ground, the grass, and the buildings. You hear the birds responding to the day. You feel the energy of the sun around you. And in the same way, this is how I experienced the eclipse all around me. The light softened and grew darker. The air cooled. The birds fell quiet, and the people appeared on the sidewalks, still and wondering. And then it brightened and warmed and got noisy, and the people moved on, and the day continued. And so my experience was not as dramatic as some, but it was nonetheless very cool. And more to my point, it was complete. I didn't need to look straight at it to experience it, or to gain a new appreciation for the solar system and the ways the sun and the moon and the planets work in our universe and the power of the sun to shape our life here. And as with eclipses, so perhaps with resurrection. In an echo of the story about Doubting Thomas, told in the Gospel according to John, which we heard last Sunday, today's reading from the Gospel according to Luke describes Jesus visiting with the disciples after his resurrection. He appears without warning in the midst of the group, and he greets them. Peace be with you. And they are shocked and frightened. And they wonder if he is a ghost. And he proves he isn't, not only by offering up his feet and hands to their touch, but by asking for something to eat. He is really and truly and completely alive, body and spirit. Well, the disciples are in the resurrection path of totality. and they have the special glasses. They are looking directly at the sun, pun entirely intended. And they are having an astonishingly dramatic experience. And they will go and bear witness to this experience just as Jesus tells them to do. And not only this particular moment, but the whole of their experience with Jesus. His teaching, his love for them, his relationship with God, his faithfulness to his call, his experience of suffering and his death, and his resurrection. They will go and bear witness, proclaiming the good news of forgiveness and new life. And thank goodness they did, because we are not in the resurrection path of totality. But neither are we on the other side of the world, oblivious to what is going on. We can still experience the power of Jesus' resurrection, even if we don't get to watch him eat a piece of broiled fish. We can still experience the consequences of this astonishing, powerful thing and allow it to impact our lives. Now, another exciting thing happened to me earlier this week when I had the privilege of speaking with a friend of a friend who is exploring Christianity and what it might mean to become a Christian. And this young woman comes from a non-Christian culture, a non-religious culture, in fact, and so has no real frame of reference for faith in a religious sense, faith in someone rather than a set of ideas. And she has been reading about Christianity, and she has recognized that she can't simply learn her way into being Christian. Something else is necessary. And I think she is absolutely right. Although I love the book learning, intellectual part of our faith, and I certainly know people for whom learning about Jesus and about Christian theology was a critical part of bringing them to faith, it is not enough by itself. At the risk of running my analogy into the ground, that would be like reading about eclipses and understanding why and how they happen and what the consequences are for those who are experiencing them, but staying inside with your curtains drawn and your TV blaring while it's actually happening. Learning is important, but it is not sufficient, because Christianity is not simply a set of doctrines or theological propositions or even rules to follow. Christianity is an experience of God, a relationship of union with God revealed in the person of Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And that cannot ever be fully explained. It needs to be lived. And so this young woman has started attending a church and finding Christians to talk about their experiences of Jesus. And she and I talked about needing to be open to the parts of faith that are more than intellectual, more than rational, seeking opportunities to encounter God in prayer and spiritual practices. And I warned her that if she wasn't careful, she might become Christian by accident, only noticing it after the fact. Because not everyone has a dramatic conversion moment. For some, the power of the resurrection sneaks up on them gradually, the light and the temperature changing slowly, gently reshaping the way they experience God and the way they encounter the world. because we are outside the path of totality, and there is no one single path to faith. There is no single experience of resurrection, no single relationship with Jesus. But through our learning and our prayers, our conversations and our choices, our curiosity, our desire, our openness, God invites us to share in the freedom and fullness of the life of the risen Christ. And in just a few moments, we are going to celebrate Cooper, whose parents have accepted this invitation and brought him forward to be baptized, to be made one with the risen Christ and a member of the family of God. For this is the gift which baptism makes visible and which nothing can take away. And we will hear his parents and his godparents make their own promises to teach Cooper what this means, to model for him this way of living, this way of knowing God. And we will, all of us, make our own commitment to do all in our power to support Cooper as he grows, a commitment that we make on behalf of the whole church, wherever Cooper may find himself later in life. And then we will renew our own baptismal promises. Renew our commitment not simply to a set of ideas or rules, but to an entire way of life that leads us to experience the power of the resurrection, made one with Christ, one with Cooper, one with each other, one with God. Alleluia, Christ is risen. That was beautiful timing, Cooper. Wow. And with that, we will move to celebrate the baptism.